So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Now, it's really a simple message, but it's what the Lord's put on my spirit. 2 Kings chapter 6, if you're there, say amen. Verse number 15 says like this, "Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, master, what shall we do?'" Does that sound familiar to anybody? You walk out and man, it seemed like everything, the enemy has you surrounded. And you say, "What am I going to do now?" You say, "What are we going to do?" And so the man of God, so he answered, "Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now, has anybody ever told you that, but you didn't see it? Because then verse 17 says, "Then Elisha prayed and said, 'O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.'" Now let me just stay right there for a moment. "Open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Glory to God. The Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. God, tonight, may you open our eyes and let us see that there are more with us than they that stand against you. Lord, open our eyes that we may see. Not the problem, not the situation, not the circumstance, but that we may see that there are more with us than against us. So that we may see the horsemen of Israel and the chariots thereof. Lord, open our eyes. If you're close enough to your neighbor and you know them, don't be doing it if you don't know them. You lay your hand on them and say, "Lord, open up their eyes that they may see that there is more with us than against us." See, it all changes when you get a God perspective. I want to empower you to see not only your past, but your present and your future through a new perspective. Because if you can get a new perspective on what you've been through, it'll change the way you feel. Matter of fact, point number one is simply this. Your attitude towards life will always reflect your perspective of life. I want you to get that in your spirit. Your attitude toward life will always reflect your perspective of life. You got to get a different perspective. You're a child of God. Do away with the negative thoughts and the negative perspective and begin to look at it through the eyes of God. Start looking at it as an opportunity. See, if you perceive that life to be unfair, then you will always have the attitude that you're a victim. If you perceive, "Well, life ain't fair. Why is everybody always picking on me?" If you have the attitude that life is unfair, then you're always going to have the perspective of a victim. Don't raise your hand. But how many of us have said things like this? "This always happens to me." How many have said, "I can never get ahead. As soon as I get my head above water, something else happens"? Or how many have said, "I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop"? That's a victim mentality. Instead of whose report are you going to believe? See, if you perceive life to be one big conspiracy against you, then you're going to have the attitude of a sufferer. If you think, you know, if you can't watch football because every time they get in a huddle, you think they're talking about you, you got some issues. Well, everybody's always conspiring against me. Everybody's always looking to get me. Oh, they don't like me. This one don't like me. That one don't like me. Usually the problem is you don't like yourself. Because when you like yourself, you don't care what anybody else thinks about you. Hey. And that's what Jesus has come to do. He's come to lift you up and let you recognize that you ain't got to please everybody around you. What you got to please is Him. And if you can please Him. Now listen to me. I'm not giving you a license to tell everybody to go, you know, that I don't care what you think I'm going to do. No. Especially if you work for somebody. Come on. But what I am saying is you got to get the perspective. It doesn't matter if they like me or not. I'm going to be all right. And you begin to look. Listen, I'm usually surprised when people don't like me. Well, that's arrogant, Pastor. No, it's just, but I understand that not everybody does like me. But I'm surprised. Now, you know, if you can believe this, sometimes I go places and I'm with other preachers and ministers and there ain't nobody wants to ride with me. Y'all laughing at me, I'm being for real. But do you think that I go over in a corner somewhere? No. I understand that not everybody can be cool. I just got to realize that I know who I am in God. And it's not a conspiracy. As soon as you begin to think that you're the last one, you'll be like Elijah, who said, I'm the last one who hadn't bowed a knee to Baal. And then God spoke up and said, I still got 7,000 who haven't bowed a knee to Baal. You might be by yourself, but if you will get a God perspective, God is about to do something in your life. If you perceive that life to be an opportunity, you will have the attitude of a conqueror, an adventurer, and an overcomer. What life's going to throw at you? There ain't nothing that you and Jesus can't overcome. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing that you and Jesus can't overcome. Now, you have to cooperate with Jesus. See, Pentecostals will tell you all you got to do is speak in some tongues. No, baby, you got to cooperate with Jesus. It is not what has happened to you that has formed you. It is how you responded to what has happened to you. Everybody in this room has had some storms, but some of us have allowed the storms to blow us, and then others of us have just rode the storm to the next destination where God was taking us. You've got to decide how you're going to live your life. Point number two is this. Your perspective determines your attitude, and your attitude determines your approach. How are you approaching life? How are you approaching life? See, here's some of the problem. Some of the problem is that you've been raised on the wrong side of the tracks, and everybody you know is on the wrong side of the tracks, and everybody you know is broke, busted, and disgusted, and you think that's the way that life is, and only for a few get to have happiness. Only a few get to have joy. Only a few get to have peace. Only a few get to have a good marriage. Only a few get to have good children. Only a few get a decent home. Only a few. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because the promises of God are yea and amen to every person who will take the word of God and begin to apply it correctly to their life and walk therein in righteousness. That's good preaching, whether you know it or not. How do you approach your challenge? How do you do it? How do you approach your opportunities? How do you approach relationships? How do you approach your God? Let me ask this question, because I've had to answer it. What if everything was taken away from you? Would you still serve God? Yeah, we say that. Here's the deal, man. I know too many people who have made the statement, and I've made it before, ignorantly. I've made the statement, God, I don't deserve this. Look what I've done for you. Anybody been there? Don't leave me out there by myself. Lord, look at what I've done for you. What did I do? I come to church. Air-conditioned church. Come on. I come in some decent clothes. Come on. I drove myself to church. Or I walked to church. I came in my own ability. Come on, somebody. Look at all I've done. Well, look at all I sacrificed. I've preached. I've worshiped. I've counseled. It's my privilege. Thank you, God, for allowing me to come to the house of God today. Lord, thank you that I'm not in China having to be quiet underground somewhere, having to be smuggled somewhere, that the militia's not after me, that the army's not after me, but I can stand before this pulpit and declare that you are King and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not only do I have this Bible, I've got 20 Bibles in my office, 30 or 40, 50 Bibles on my iPad, and there are people in China and different places who would give almost anything just to have one chapter of this book. Look at what I've done for you. So here's the problem in the American church. In the American church, we think we're doing God a favor when we come to the house of God. Well, I'm here, Pastor. I'm here. No, no, man. Get a God perspective. Don't ever let what God has given you take the place of Him. Don't seek His gifts. Seek the gift giver. Don't seek what He can give you. Seek who He is. Come on, somebody. See, 1 John 5 and 4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world." Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Whoever, whatever. It doesn't say only those who are born. You know, my wife used to think that only those who were born in preachers' homes were really blessed because she wasn't born in a preacher's home. Being a preacher, being born in a preacher's home, I used to think if you were born in a preacher's home, God didn't like you. You see, it's all a matter of perspective. My wife was disciplined. One of the ways they disciplined her as a teenager is that they wouldn't let her go to church. Yeah. Oh, y'all, there's some parents. Y'all might not be in here right now, but I know some of you. I discipline my kids. I'm not going to let them go to church. What? I wish my dad would have disciplined me and make me not go to church. It's all a matter of perspective. Are you listening to me? So what is God's perspective on your life and the things that are going on in your life? You see, this is the victory, not will be, not shall be, not going to be, but is our faith. As long as you've got faith, the victory is yours. Now, I want you to notice something. In 1 John 5 and 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Victory is not based on apparent outcome. Now, do I have that? I don't have that on there. I wish I'd have put that on there. Victory is not based on an apparent outcome. What do you mean? You think victory is based on what you want done. Well, the victory is if I get A, B, and C, then I've got victory. No, you don't know what a win looks like. What is the victory? Well, listen, outcomes can be deceiving. How many won the battle but lost the war?
Yeah.
Christ on the cross was an outcome of His arrest, and it looked like failure. To every disciple, Jesus is coming. Yes, he's gonna raise up the kingdom of Israel. He's arrested. What? He's beaten. What? He's crucified. What? He's put to death. What? He died. What? Kind of feel like that Allstate guy. What? What? Yeah, I'm stealing your car. What? That's what I do. What? And that's kind of what the disciples were. What? Are you kidding me? What? He died. It's over. Our victory's gone. They didn't know what the victory was. Listen, to struggle is a sign that you have not been conquered. I want you to hear it. Come on, I want you to get that. Oh, Pastor, I'm struggling. Praise God! Why? Because it means you ain't, oh, it ain't done yet. It means you still got some fight left in you. If you've ever been in a fight with your spouse and they quit talking, that's when it's bad. Right? As long as you're fussing, it's all right. But when you get silent, it gets bad. It's Harley time. That's right. And not dragging them behind it. But anyway, as long as you're yelling, you're still communicating. You know, I had this, I'm hesitant to say this, but me and Danielle's daughter has this weird relationship. Me and Sela. Sela, I'm usually a babe magnet. Not that babe, a baby magnet. Usually most kids like me. But Sela, we struggle. And sometimes for no reason, she'll just run up and hug me. And then for no reason, Sela. I think she takes after her mama. No, I'm just kidding. So this one Wednesday night, I said, Sela, come here and give me a hug. She said, no. I said, I don't want no hug. She said, leave me alone, Pastor. I said, you leave me alone. And it was raining, so I helped him go out to the car. You remember that night? I went and helped him out in the car. She said, and so I helped to get him in the car. She goes, leave us alone, Pastor. I said, you leave me alone, Sela. And she said, I hate you. I said, I hate you. She said, ah. I said, ah. And then she looked at me and grinned. See, we were communicating. To struggle is a sign that you have not been conquered. Some of you are struggling right now. Some of the devil has been on you, been on the attack. I read Facebook. It's been on the attack. But I come by to tell you that you're not done. I've come by to tell you that the victory is still there. As long as you've got faith, you've got victory. You might not have gotten the outcome that you wanted or the outcome that you're seeking, but the victory is still there. See, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for my good. That's not what it says. For the longest time, that's the way I quoted it. For all things work together for my good. That is not what it says. For all things work together for the good. For good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Wait a minute. I thought it was all about me. I thought I was the center of the universe. I thought if I came to Jesus, it would be a tiptoe to the tulips. I thought if I said yes to Jesus, I would always have money. My hair wouldn't fall out. I would never get overweight. My breath wouldn't stink. Come on, somebody. If I just came to Jesus. No, that's not what he's saying. See, the Greek word for work together is synergio, which we get our English word synergy from. A word very commonly used in corporate training. We are told that not all things are good, but they all work good. Now I want you to get that. They're not all good, but they work good. One experience combined with another experience creates a whole, not H-O-L, W-H-O-L-E, which is greater than the individual experiences. See, what you went through and what you went through and what you went through and what you went through was individually, but as we come together, it's corporately. Somebody hear me. What you went through, oh, it was a bad thing. It was. But it didn't define you. And now as a whole, as a congregation, we do life together. And now that I fall into that hole, you're there to say, hey, let me help you out of that hole. Let me help you walk through that hole. There is life after that hole. There's life after that tragedy. There's life after that incident. You can make it after that. Because you got to understand. Let's look at Joseph in Genesis 37. I'm not going to read it, but for time's sake. He was betrayed by his family. Don't point at nobody. He was betrayed by his family. Anyone in here know what it's like to be betrayed by friend or family? It's not a good thing. In verse 28, he was sold into slavery to a pagan soldier. Again, not a good thing. In chapter 38, he was put in prison for doing the right thing. Man, I just so look up to Joseph. Because, man, I would have known me. Put me in prison? Are you kidding me? Lord, I was doing right. I was doing good. How do you know you would say that? Because I haven't been put in prison, but I've still used that analogy. I've been criticized for doing good. And you know what I want to do when I'm criticized for doing good? Well, by God, I just won't do any of it. Man, I'm so good. I'm so glad I'm in such good company. Well, by God, they don't want that. Every time I try to do good, they just criticize it. So I just won't do nothing. Now put yourself in Joseph's position. I'm just out here trying to do what's right. See, if I'm going to be punished for doing something I shouldn't have done, and I didn't do it, then maybe I should have did it anyway. Oh yeah, y'all putting me all by myself, now, ain't you? Well, shoot, if I'm going to get punished, I might as well have done it. Right? That's not what he did. It's not a good thing. Now, any one of those things are tragic in your life, right? But what about if it all happened to you? But here comes point number three I want you to get on this. Never rewrite your theology because of a tragedy. Never rewrite it. Never reduce the Bible down to your experience. Never reduce the Bible down to your experience. Because the Bible is the standard. The Bible is the standard. It is the mark. It is what we strive for. It is what we can have. It is what we can do. Come on, somebody. I am what the Bible says I am. I can do what the Bible says I can do. I will have what the Bible says I can have, because it's the forever settled in heaven word of the living God. And he said in Isaiah 55 that his word would not go out and accomplish that which it was sent to do. But it would not return void, but it would accomplish what God said it would do. See, it wasn't the singularity of the events. It was the plurality of the experiences that made Joseph into who he was. It's not the one thing. Quit letting the one thing define you. Quit letting a few things. My God, I'm talking to somebody. Quit letting this, that, and the other thing define you. You're not the singularity of the events, but it's the whole experience of your life that have made you who you are. I'm sorry that you went through what you went through, but God allowed you to go through it to make you who you are today. So quit looking back and seeing who you used to be, because you're somebody new today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Putting him into the pit brought him into the land of his destiny. Selling him to the slavery trained him for management. He needed the management skills to rule the nation. Putting him in prison brought him before Pharaoh, the contact he would need to fulfill his purpose. Now, Jeremiah 1:19. Everybody always quotes Jeremiah 29:11. But what about Jeremiah 1:19? Which says, they will fight against you, but they will not overcome you. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. There are no great victories without great battles. You know, how would it be if I were to put on boxing gloves? What's this baby's name you got? Briella? You had to look at it, didn't you? Which one do I got? Yeah. All right, so Briella? All right. So it wouldn't be nothing. How old is Briella? 3 months old. Now, if I put on some boxing gloves, I'm pretty confident I could whoop Briella. 2 out of 3. But what great, you know, wouldn't it be ludicrous if we put on the Rocky song? There wasn't no battle. Matter of fact, I'd have about 150 other battles I got to fight. Because y'all be on me. First of all, mama would take me out. But anyway. But what I'm saying is, we want to glorify ourselves. See, the step almost took me out. We want to glorify ourselves when we haven't even fought a battle. We want to sing victory, but we ain't fought nothing. And the first fight we get into, oh, Pastor, the devil hits. You know, I used to play football. And I'd play football, and I'd try to run through the line. I was a running back. And I'd try to run through the line. Can you believe the audacity that the other team tried to stop me? Never once did I come back. I remember Coach Terry. Never did I ever come back to Coach Terry and go, Coach Terry, every time I tried to run through the line, they hit me. They tried to strip the ball out of me. They tried to take my legs out from under me. They hit me in the head. I don't want to do this no more. Now, we laugh at that, but that's what we do about you. Well, the devil's fighting me. No, duh. He's called the adversary. He's called the devil. He hates your stinking guts. He hates every fiber of you. So, of course, he's going to fight. But you know what Coach Terry would tell me? I remember one day, the game was on the line. He came into the huddle. He called timeout. He came into the huddle and he grabbed my face mask and shook my head. I've never had a coach like that. He shook my head. He said, Ronnie, can you get through that line? And I didn't go, well, I'm going to try. I said, yeah, I can. I wish it had it. I mean, I shook it back. Now, I know you're wondering, did I get to the line?
Nope.
I did my best, though. I got a few grapes. We won the game. But you know what? When I got out of there, I had a fingernail that was hanging on. I had some blood coming down my side of my head because of where somebody hit me or something. And I had some cleek scratches on my shin. And I came out a winner. But tattered and torn and bruised and busted up. But we won. Listen, don't think that you're going to skate through this life on a skateboard, well, and that you ain't ever going to fall off, that the enemy's not going to try to knock you off or knock you down, but this is our faith. He is our victory. If I fall, I got victory. If I fail, I have victory, because it's not about me, it's about Him. There are no great victories without great battles. Bad times are not enjoyable, but they are useful.
Well, I don't know what God's going to get out of this.
Me neither. Sometimes I don't know. You know, let me tell you something. At my first church, and remember, I started pastoring when I was 24. That's the truth. I wasn't 6. I was 24. When I first started pastoring, I had a couple of people, man, just stabbed me in the back. And to this day, I still fully don't understand it, in case you're watching. Now, the reality of it is, they came and apologized and asked me to forgive them. They didn't never tell me why they did it. And I did forgive them. You know, and that was a long story, but I was leaving. And so they came and made it right. And I thought to myself, I said, God, what good can come out of me being stabbed in the back, talked about, I didn't do what they said I did? What good? And I'd been here at the church for about a year and a half, 2 years. And another pastor and his wife was going through something. They came to see me. And they said, oh, you don't understand, because here's what happened. And I went, ding. And I said, oh, what you don't understand is I do understand. Almost the exact same thing happened to me, and I made it through. Let me help you. Let me tell you, there's life afterwards. You listen to me, church. See, I didn't enjoy it, but it was useful. I didn't enjoy some of the things I've been through, but it's been useful. You learn from the failures. You learn from the mistakes. You learn from things that you didn't do right. You learn. And so bad times are not enjoyable, but they are useful. Genesis 45. Look at how Joseph explains the things that happened to him. In Genesis 45, 5 through 8, here's what he said. See if you can pull that up real quick. You, Craig. Genesis 45. And 5 through 8. That's in the Old Testament, for those of you who are trying to find it. Now, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves. Now, this is Joseph talking to his brothers, the ones who did the thing to him. He said, don't be angry with yourselves. Again, he's a man of God. Man, if I'd have been, I'd be like, y'all put all them in chains. Don't be angry with yourselves or grieved, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Wait a minute. Did I read that right? You sold me here, God sent me here.
I just can't believe God would send me to a godforsaken place called Bluntstown.
You don't know what God needs. You don't know what God needs. Because you sold me here, for God sent me here. You sold me here, God sent me here. Now, I want you to catch this. Same action, different perspective. You sold me here. That's one perspective. God sent me here. Different perspective. You meant to harm me. One perspective. God meant for me to preserve life. See the difference? It changes your whole life. Verse 6 says, for the famine has been in this land for 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. Verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Did you catch it? Three times he referred to God sending him through their actions. Now that doesn't mean you go, oh, I'm just so delighted to be in a battle. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know people that way? I know some quote unquote Christians that way, and they're very weird. And I don't want to be around them. Oh, I'm just looking for a battle, Pastor. Just get away from me. Because this is how I fight my battle. Anyway. Man, I ain't going to stir up no battle. If you just do what you're called to do, you're going to have enough battles. Right? But through their actions, God orchestrated, God used, God sent me. You thought you did, but God sent me. His focus was not on what they had done, but on what God had accomplished. Now, man, if you can get that principle right there. It wasn't on what they had done, but what God had accomplished. He was not offended, he was not angry, and he was not bitter. Now, I'm almost done. I think I got three more. When you change your focus, you will alter your feelings as well. Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. For am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. When you change your focus, you will alter your feelings as well. But Pastor, you don't know what was done to me. No, you're right. But I've counseled with a lot of folks, and I know some things. And here's what I want you to decide. Give me my next one, Craig. Injustice is only as powerful as your memory of it. Injustice is only as powerful as your memory of it. Well, how can I forget? I can't forget. I know that. But I can remember things that God is healing me over. How do you know? How do you know, Pastor? People have asked me, how do you know that you have forgiven? I'll tell you one indication. It's the only best one I have. The best indication that you are being, or that you are forgiving that person, is that when you remember it, it don't hold as much pain as it once did. And at some point in time, I remember when I think about this one family that did me so wrong. When I used to think about them, it would pain me. Now it's just an event. But it's not my life. It don't define me. I don't even feel the pain of it anymore. Why, Pastor? Because you've grown. I have. I've grown. I've overcome. You know, can I tell you, some of the best revenge is to enjoy life. You know, how many know people, don't point at them if they're here. How many know people that, man, they're not enjoying life and they're upset that you do? They mad that you are happy. They're mad that you are just enjoying life. All right, now this is real deep. Are you ready? It's my last one. It's deep. Don't give it to them yet. Don't give it to them. Don't take it off. This is so powerful. It's so deep. I want you to get ready for it. Are you ready for it? All right, give it to them because this is deep. All things are difficult before they become easy. Now, it's simple, but it's pretty deep. All things are difficult before they become easy. You know, I remember learning to play the keyboard. And man, my fingers just wouldn't do what I wanted them to do. And it was so difficult. And now they go there without me thinking most of the time. Now, I've tried to play the guitar. I can't do it. My fingers just, it won't go there. One of the reasons, because I got little fat, little chubby fingers, and I need a little small neck to get them around. I can't get them around. My little nubs won't do it. It's easy, or it's hard, and before it becomes easy. Some of you just can't get past where you are. Some of you can't get past what was done. Tonight, you need to get a different perspective. It may not be easy to change your perspective. Some have lived with a certain way of seeing things for years. And all it takes is a sentence or a touch to cause your perspective to change. Urabashi. Would a Spirit Life team come and would everybody just stand with me for a minute? I know we've stood a long time during worship, but I've been standing the whole service. So I want y'all to suffer with me. I'm just kidding. Now, every head bowed, every eye closed. And I know we've laughed, I want us to be so serious right now. Maybe there's something that you've been hard to get over. And you just need God to touch you. You want to leave here with a different perspective. Maybe you've just been looking at life wrong and you need God to change your perspective. Matter of fact, let me just do this. Is if you don't know Jesus, but you want to ask him into your life, I give you my word, I want to embarrass you. If that's you, just slip up your hand. You can put it right back down. I'm not going to take a long time right here. But if you don't, I see that hand. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? I see that hand. God bless you, sir. Hallelujah. Because, man, that's the thing. You know, to ask Jesus to come into your life, he gives you a new perspective. Anybody else? Hallelujah. I want to pray this prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sin. Give me a new perspective on my life and my journey. Today, come home with me. Be my God, and I'll be your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.